CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
If I'm going into Wisconsin.
Well, I got the kicked out of me in Wisconsin once. Forget it.
Snap count on my mind, Romo hand on my butt. I'm the center, and that's what's up, yeah. I touch the ball on every play, and if you see me coming at you, it's time to pray. I got a big beard and a real mean streak. In the bedroom, I'm a super freak. I once ate a whole honey-baked ham. Ask a DT who the f*** I am. My name is Frederick. Yeah. Travis Frederick. My name is Frederick. Yeah, Travis Frederick.
Joining us now at Top Golf in the Colony, the man of the hour. He's what this is all about tonight. Travis Frederick's Blocking Out Hunger event at Top Golf in the Colony. Here he is himself, Travis Frederick.
Hey, guys. Man? I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing great. We're super stoked and honored to be here again with you this year, and we're excited about the turnout of players tonight and how much money you guys are going to raise for Blocking Out Hunger and the foundation. And let's just kind of dive in right there. And this has really been your mission, and you've gone out of your way. You've been very consistent, and you put a lot of time, effort, and energy into helping feed the kids of this community, kids that don't get enough food, don't get enough meals. So let's just dive in and get the latest. What's the latest with the foundation?
Yeah, this is a super important thing to me. You know, I knew when I got here that I wanted to do something, and I didn't know exactly what it was. But when I saw the need here in Dallas for the kids that don't have enough food, I knew that we needed to do something. And then as a rookie, you get connected with all these galas and all these charity events, and you see how generous the people of Dallas in this area are. It's really special. So all we wanted to do is create a conduit between those people that want to give and the people that need, and that's what we've done here. So we have our two events a year. This is our spring event. We love doing it. This one's a little more laid back and a little more fun. We're out here at Top Golf. I got 25-plus teammates coming out today to play golf with these guys, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So if you still have time, please come on out. You can get tickets up until the event. So we're going to start off at 7 o'clock, and I'm really excited. We're raising money for things like backpack programs for kids when they're not getting food in school, so that's spring break, summer break, and winter break. And our bigger project that we started, and we're actually going to launch a third one, is Travis's Pantry, where we actually go into schools and provide food in a room in a school, that not only non-perishable food items, but also a refrigerated section for perishable items for kids to take home over the weekend during the school year, which is a really big thing.
It is really incredible. And, you know, you mentioned the generosity of the people of Dallas. It is a really good thing. But there's no bad charities, right? I mean, there's every charity is got good intentions.
Absolutely.
But there was probably some sort of moment or something that happened, or a story you came across or something that made you zero in on this. Do you remember exactly what it was? You're like, you know what? This is what fits for me.
I do. I was downtown handing out meals for another company that I was working with that was dealing with hunger in general and is working on a more sustainable solution to hunger in the area and throughout the world. But when I was downtown and I was handing out these meals, I saw the smiles on these kids' faces, how excited they were to be getting it. It was a hamburger, and it for some of them was the first meal they had had in days.
Wow.
And when you see that, it immediately hits your heart and pulls at your heartstrings and says, this is an issue. I mean, these kids have no hope in, you know, moving forward if they can't reach their potential because they can't focus in school and they can't grow to be the productive adults that you need them to be for our society.
Man, you're a special guy, Travis. We've known that, having you on the show for a long time. But I thought last year was your finest year that we've known you, because what you went through with Guillain-Barré, it was such a curveball. There was no way to be prepared for it, but all of a sudden in camp, oh, here's an illness that might take your life, but for sure you're out of football, and we don't know if you'll play again. And you just kept the same demeanor. You stayed positive throughout the whole thing. I just think it speaks volumes about your character, the way you handled that adversity. And now I look at you, and I guess I didn't notice it over time, but you had kind of withered away over the course of the year. And that's I'm probably exaggerating it to say you're withered away.
It's all relative.
It's all relative. Yeah. You're still, you know, like a human lumberjack to us. You could have easily killed us with your bare hands, even at your sickest. But I can see now you look very healthy. Like, you look ripped. Like, you look like you've put on good weight. And I don't know. You look more like yourself before.
Kind of horny, really.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't realize it until
Do I look horny or you're horny?
Yeah.
No, well,
I think we all are.
Ben,
I think it was everyone.
I understand. Okay.
Yeah. I'm very rough.
And Kevin.
But am I right to say that? I mean, you look like you've put on a lot of muscle.
Yeah, I am feeling a lot better. And it was kind of a weird time. Like you said, I really did wither away. You know, what kind of, you know, short story, my brain wasn't able to connect with my muscles. So I wasn't able to control them. I wasn't able to fire them properly. So when that's happening, you can't work them out. You can't exercise them. And you don't think about exercise being walking every day, you know, up and down the stairs or to the car or whatever it is. But every movement that you do is exercising your body. So when you're not able to walk properly, you're not able to be up and down stairs, it really, on top of not being able to weightlift, really cuts into that stuff. So I was having an issue with walking and stabilizing my hips and all that. So all of those muscles start to shrink down. They start to atrophy because you're not using them. And so that's why I lost a bunch of weight. And, you know, I did try to keep some weight on. I thought, listen, it'll be easier to keep the weight on if I can just keep the number up, whether it's fat or muscle, and then transform it over. And I quickly found out that the muscle came back and the fat stayed on top. So I had to slim back down a little bit. But it was good because generally the rule in the weight room is bigger is stronger. Not necessarily all muscle. Even sometimes you need a little bit of fat to be your strongest. And so this has helped me to get back to those numbers that I want to be at, be a little bit bigger, and I'll be able to start slimming down here once we get into training camp.
It was so interesting to me as Ben was getting into that question because based on our history, I was pretty convinced he was going to ask you to power rank your years with the Cowboys.
Goodness. Oh, wow.
Because you just went out there and planted a flag on 2018 and said, man, 2018 is Travis' first year as a Cowboy.
Get out of here, Shippy.
Travis, if you'd like to go ahead and power rank your
finest
years
idea.
As a Cowboy. I guess Shippy gets to decide how many different years. He's probably looking it up right now on Pro Football Reference.
Number 10 Shippy probably doesn't work here, huh?
Number 10's a reach. Unless we want to do future years.
So it's 6 years. Wow, you've been in the league for 6 years?
This is my seventh
year
now.
This is year seven.
Yes,
holy
it is.
Cow.
It's unbelievable how quickly that goes. I try and impress that on the young guys when they come in. It's just, it's so difficult to believe how quickly it moves.
Did Joseph Randall listen?
No, yesterday?
Is he a listener? I'm sorry.
Did he listen when he tried to tell the young guys?
Don't mention him.
He was my age, so I wasn't any older. I couldn't impart any advice.
Yesterday was our six-year anniversary coming back at the Fan for them and me joining their show. And that first week on the air is when we met you.
Yeah. Is it really?
Your rookie,
right. I thought you guys had been around forever. Like, you guys.
Well, they have.
Well, right. But, you know, you had Grow the Show and you had all these things. I was like, oh, man, why are they growing the show? This is like an awesome show that's been on radio for like 40 years, as old as these guys are. You know?
We weren't that old. That, yeah, we were probably. Yeah,
we actually
were.
We were
that old.
We were in our 40s.
Yeah, we were 42.
I'm sniffing 50 here pretty soon.
I'm just now learning how old you guys are.
That's good. We've tried to hide that from you. But I got to say, so for you looking the way you look right now, it's getting me excited about the season because I know you don't think about it this way, but I'm thinking, damn, we might have just gotten one of our three best players on the team back that we didn't have last year. And I say we because we're part of the team.
Right, of course.
But I'm, like, super stoked about getting you back because at first it was the first finding out about Guillain-Barré. It was like, oh, no, I'm worried about Travis the person. And then now that you're okay as the person, now we start thinking about, okay, how good are the Cowboys going to be? Well, you take a Pro Bowl center, and look, no disrespect. Obviously, Joe Lenny was great last year.
Get into this at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, I can't wait to tell him what you said.
But you're arguably the best center in the game. I know you don't like to say that, but unless it's private and you're yelling it at us.
with that giant finger in our face.
But it gets me very optimistic for this coming season. How optimistic are you? And I know it's impossible to guess now.
Right.
You're coming back from the shoulder and whatnot. But how optimistic are you that you're not going to skip a beat and you're going to be right back to where you were?
I'm optimistic. I think that's a great way to put that. I don't know if you can scale optimism. I generally am a very realistic person, and I try to keep everything grounded. So I realize that there's a small chance that things might not be exactly the same, but every step along the way on this return has exceeded my expectations. I was able to get back weightlifting faster. I was able to get back walking faster. And all of these things started happening faster than I had anticipated. And being back out there working with the guys now, I feel like I'm moving well and I'm back at that sort of pace. You know, I'm not going to be doing a ton of contact during OTAs, but everything kind of ramps up. And honestly, so far, everything is better than I had realistically expected it to be. So that gives me good optimism.
Very exciting time. Travis Frederick joining us on the Bit and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. How was the big fishing expedition?
Oh, it was a great time. You know, that was one of the best trips that I've been on with the guys in my career. And I'm not going to power rank those trips. We don't need to talk about a lot of those details, but it was a great time. You know, we had a... We had a really good group of guys out there, and I wish that I could bring all, you know, everybody. And unfortunately, this already has blown up way bigger than it started with just me and Zach, and now all of a sudden it's, you know, 10 guys. But what a great time for us to just be out on the water. Some guys fish, some guys don't, but we're all together in a remote area where nobody has any idea who we are. And I mean, it's great. And you talk about Key West. We get down to Key West for a night too, and down there it's such a small town feel. Everything happens. It's kind of like almost like you know, Bourbon Street, from what I've been told. It all happens right there, but it's not like all these crazy people. So it was awesome. We had a really good time.
You guys just mix in. Don't stand out at all.
I mean,
can you imagine those 10 guys walking in a bar together?
We get a couple looks, but you know, nothing out of the ordinary.
Shortest guy is 6'5".
Close the buffet. Close the buffet now. Shut it down.
Shut it down. Shut down the buffet.
Okay, speaking of being out there, deep sea fishing, maybe you could power rank just a couple of the most deadly things in the ocean. Chippy?
In the ocean.
Music number four.
Number four, we have the anemone. Ooh. The anemone is a poisonous plant that I don't know how it counts as a plant, maybe coral.
Or your list don't really coral. Start out
yeah,
well.
Anemone,
well
yeah. Talking about Eric Bieniemy?
No. The anemone.
Yes.
You're a strong finisher, though.
Yeah, look,
I've had to take
knows.
One of those when I'm sick. When I was a kid,
knows.
I had to take
no,
one of those.
No, that's an enema.
Enema. Yeah, if you're getting an enema in the ocean, that's dangerous.
I found those
dangerous
to be deadly.
As well.
That's
well,
the best place to do it, actually.
All right, in the ocean. I guess we'll accept that because you're in person.
Thank you.
Number three,
we have the man-o-war jellyfish.
Oh, yeah, just one bite of those and, yeah.
You're toast.
Lethal, right?
You're out.
Oh, really? It'll
you're
kill
gone.
You?
You're gone. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
It's one of the, it's the number three most deadly thing in the ocean.
Okay.
So they call it the man-o-war.
Unless you put peanut butter on it.
I don't know if peanut butter is what you're supposed to do with it.
You're supposed to pee on it.
Yeah. I think it's pee. I think it's urine.
Yeah. Yep. And that's probably not going to help.
It might help.
It's lethal.
Yeah, I suppose.
What
yeah.
are the seven best things to pee on? No, stay. No, sorry. Go ahead and stay on the...
Oh, my goodness.
Shippy.
Number two.
That's a good number.
Number two. The number two most dangerous thing in the ocean, to me, is pirates.
Oh, yeah.
Now, pirates are a real thing, and I know everyone thinks of, you know, the eye patches and the wooden leg, but
you're talking about Willie Stargell.
No,
those
I'm
guys.
Talking about like what's Captain Phillips? You know,
oh, yeah, I am the captain now.
Yes.
Somalians.
Yeah, well, I'm not going that far.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, pirates in the ocean. Things of you know, those poor ships aren't allowed to carry weaponry to protect themselves. They're using water cannons against armed militant people. I mean, that is
they want your booty.
That is scary. That is very scary and probably very deadly.
Yeah.
Probably
yeah,
the second
Jack
most deadly
Sparrow.
Thing in the ocean.
I agree.
And
they're kind of on the ocean, but
well, you know, when they swim, they're in the ocean.
Yeah.
So number one is obviously sharks. No one should ever have to deal with a shark. That's scary. What?
You said sharks.
Sharks.
Oh, sharks. Yes. Yeah.
I thought you were tooting on my idea.
Sharks.
No.
Sharks. I said sharks, too.
I mean,
and I thought you were thinking about, like, a public pool.
Well.
That's the most dangerous thing in a public pool, sharking.
I mean, there are so many different types of sharks. Not all of them are that scary, but some of the stories you hear about the sharks and like, the great white in... Where was that? That was down in Florida. It was like a week before we went down there.
Right.
Just coming up on the chum of the boat. That was a little scary for
Tell
me.
Tell us some of the stories you've heard about sharks. You
about
said
sharks?
All the stories that you hear?
Well, I mean, you...
like
you,
to hear some of those.
There's this one story where there's a bunch of people at this beach, and the shark just comes by and starts grabbing them. You know?
Right.
So they take a boat out, to go get the shark.
Yes. No.
And the shark eats the boat, yeah, but they end up. I don't want to give anything away.
Right.
That's a great story.
Exactly. I was going to watch that tonight.
Manny loves that story.
Okay, so Connor Williams is going to join us coming up next. What can you tell us about Connor? What are you seeing from him?
Talk about healthy. That's what I think the number one word I would use to describe him now is healthy. He looks good. He's been working really hard. That was one of his off-season goals, was to be able to get bigger, get stronger. And he's certainly done that. You'll notice that as soon as you see him. And on top of that, we're really excited to have him in the group. I mean, he's come a long way. You know, all rookies are, in our opinion, rookies don't know what they're doing and don't know what they're talking about. And he certainly didn't at the beginning, but he's come a long way. So we're excited to have him. I really appreciate the things that he does.
Well, we're excited to be here, and we appreciate you. Thank you for having us back out to your Blocking Out Hunger event, Top Golf Colony. And you got a lot of teammates coming to give you some support tonight. Hopefully we raised a lot of money for a wonderful cause.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, there he goes, the great Travis Frederick.